I'm Helen Fees, and we're here today on Cybershow Reflections to discuss some great writings on cybersecurity, digital rights, and computer science. Today we're reading from Marcus Renum's Six Dumbest Ideas in Computer Security, a challenging and, if you can appreciate sardonic pomposity, a very funny take on enduring ideas that are intuitive, simple, and wrong. Marcus is credited as being the inventor of the proxy firewall and wrote this article in 2005. Almost 20 years later, many of the problems remain not just unsolved, but comprehensively worse. So what do you think are the good and the bad points? Why is it still relevant today? What was Renum wrong about, given 20 years of hindsight? What dumb idea of your own would you add? You're listening to The Cyber Show on www.cybershow.uk.
The six dumbest ideas in computer security. There's lots of innovation going on in security. We're inundated with a steady stream of new fluff, and it all sounds like it works just great. Every couple of months, I'm invited to a new computer security conference, or I am asked to write a foreword for a new computer security book. And thanks to the fact that it's a topic of public concern and a, quote, safe issue for politicians, we can expect a flood of computer security-related legislation from lawmakers. So, computer security is definitely still a hot topic. But why are we spending all of this time and money and still having problems? Let me introduce you to the six dumbest ideas in computer security. What are they? They're the anti-good ideas. They are the brain damage that makes your £100,000 ASIC-based turbo stateful packet mulching firewall transparent to hackers. Where do anti-good ideas come from? They come from misguided attempts to do the impossible, which is another way of saying trying to ignore reality. Frequently, those misguided attempts are sincere efforts by well-meaning people or companies who just don't fully understand the situation. But other times, it's just a bunch of savvy entrepreneurs with a well-marketed piece of junk that they're selling to make a fast buck. In either case, these dumb ideas are the fundamental reasons why all that money you spend on information security is going to be wasted, unless you somehow manage to avoid them. For your convenience, I've listed the dumbest ideas in descending order from the most frequently seen. If you can avoid falling into the trap of the first three, you're among the few true computer security elite.
You're listening to The Cyber Show. In this part, we're covering part one and talking about default permit.
Dumb idea number one.
Number one.
The default permit. This dumb idea crops up in a lot of different forms. It's incredibly persistent and difficult to eradicate. Why? Because it's so attractive. Systems based on default permit are the computer security equivalent of empty calories, tasty yet fattening. The most recognisable form in which the default permit dumb idea manifests itself is in firewall rules. Back in the very early days of computer security, network managers would set up an internet connection and decide to secure it by turning off incoming telnet, incoming remote login, incoming file transfer protocol. Everything else was allowed through, hence the name default permit. This put the security practitioner in an endless arms race with the hackers. Suppose a new vulnerability is found in a service that is not blocked. Now the administrators need to decide whether to deny it or not, hopefully before they got hacked. A lot of organisations adopted default permit in the early 1990s. They convinced themselves it was okay because, quote, hackers will never bother to come after us. The 1990s, with the advent of worms, should have killed off the default permit idea forever. But it didn't. In fact, most networks today are still built around the notion of an open core with no segmentation. That's basically default permit. Another place where default permit crops up is in how we typically approach code execution on our systems. The default is to permit anything on your machine to execute if you click on it, unless its execution is denied by something like an antivirus program or a spyware blocker. If you think about that for a few seconds, you'll realise what a dumb idea that really is. On my computer here, I run about 15 different applications on a regular basis. There are probably another 20 or 30 installed that I use every couple of months or so. I still don't understand why operating systems are so dumb that they let any old virus or piece of spyware execute without even asking me. That is default permit. A few years ago, I worked on analysing a website's security posture as part of an e-banking security project. The website had a load balancer in front of it that was capable of revectoring traffic by URL, and my client wanted the load balancer to deflect worms and hackers by revectoring attacks to a black hole address. Revectoring attacks would have meant adopting a policy of default permit, i.e., if it's not a known attack, let it through. But instead, I talked them into adopting the opposite approach. The load balancer was configured to revector any traffic not matching a complete list of correctly structured URLs to a server that serves up image data and 404 pages, which is running in a special locked down configuration. Not surprisingly, that site has withstood the test of time quite well. One clear symptom that you've got a case of default permit is when you find yourself in an arms race with the hackers. It means that you've put yourself in a situation where what you don't know can hurt you, and you will be doomed to playing keep ahead and catch up forever. The opposite of default permit is default deny. And this is a really good idea. It takes dedication, thought, and understanding to implement a default deny policy, which is why it's so seldom done. It's not that much harder to do than default permit, but you'll sleep much better at night.
You're listening to The Cyber Show. So what do you think are the good and the bad points, Andy?
Well, maybe there's really only one idea in Renoom's paper, and it's spun into several variants. But, you know, that one idea is one devastating big idea. It's a real quarter pounder truth sandwich with a side of chunky fact fries that I think a lot of security practitioners have choked on, because it goes against so much that seems intuitively right, but it's just not. It's also very prescient, and it anticipates a whole lot of tragic trajectories that we followed exactly as he said since about 2005. So take the passage that says something like, this is a topic of public concern and a safe issue for politicians. We can expect a flood of computer security related legislation from lawmakers. I mean, so given that was 20 years ago, legislation obviously is Well, has the legislation been utterly as ineffective as it seems? Things are worse than ever in all regards in that area. And I think maybe a sceptical, a rational sceptical treatment of that might be to say, hold on, are these problems simply commensurate with growth? The technology sector's expanded enormously since 2005. The applications of digital technology in everyday life have expanded enormously since 2005. And so even if legislation was only able to keep up with that growth in technology, we might still expect to see a landscape where, you know, everything's pretty much pants because digital technology itself is hard to fix. So it doesn't matter that the legislation isn't able to keep up with that. Or is there something else going on here that's more interesting? I think the key phrase there is when he says, trying to ignore reality. the attempt to avoid reality is something that is absolutely baked into the very essence of technology. And there's a great phrase, and it's by a guy called Max Frisch, who says, all technologies are a way of avoiding experiencing reality. And this is very much, I think, a disease of our age now in terms of professional management and in terms of corporate values. And it's a focus on the world as we wish it to be rather than the world as it is. It's not pragmatic. It celebrates form over function. And the focus is on the appearance of things rather than their substance. So yeah, there is this extent to which a lot of computing technology is an attempt to avoid reality. But, you know, you could say the opposite of things like the Hubble telescope or the Mars rover. Those are scientific devices aimed squarely at revealing reality, at engaging with reality, although it's a distant and remote reality. But closer to home, yeah, this Max Frisch quote seems very, very vibrant today, that, you know, technology is a way of not having to experience the world. And so many failures of security are failures to face reality. And I think that Marcus Renoum is absolutely spot on with that.
Talk us through the issues around learned ignorance.
Okay, learned ignorance. There's a distinction that he makes here between literal ignorance, you know, ignoring ignorance, ignoring reality, and learned ignorance. And this comes out in the sentence of most mistakes being misguided attempts that are sincere efforts by well-meaning people or companies who just don't fully understand the situation. Well, yeah, you know, the road to hell. And I'm not even sure that they're good intentions. They're just intentions. And that links to the later point about inaction versus action. The key concept in here is something called fallibilism. Where of what one does not know, one should not speak, etc. Just, you know, why do you always have to know something or do something? Because, you know, most people are in a job where they feel foolish, they feel like an imposter or whatever, if they kind of feel that they're exposed as not knowing something. And there just isn't this culture of learning in the world where we, you know, say, OK, I don't know. I mean, we need to sit back now and let's kind of try and figure this out. So what you have is a lot of, I would call them supremely confident idiots, absolutely infest management levels. They're people who will, they've always got an answer for everything immediately. Yeah, we need to do X, Y, and Z. And the problem is that, you know, we've devalued deep knowledge and fallibilism, that whole, because they go together, that process of lifelong learning and skeptical inquiry and so on, a part of a mindset that we've absolutely devalued for years through a sort of broken university system and into the age of products, not principles. So we want to sell solutions and they're products. They're not ideas, or they're not reflective thought. He goes on to say, savvy entrepreneurs with a well-marketed piece of junk that they're selling. That's what's going in there in place of knowledge. So yeah, we've commercialized education and made that a product itself. Selling certificates, not self, right? So this is the age of the accessorized self, where you kind of adorn yourself with these bits of paper and more accreditations and more certifications and stuff like that. And I think in that regard, higher education is derelict, and it's created that space into which productized knowledge could go. And later on, Renoum does rightly criticize that as very ephemeral. You know, he says, by learning a lot of this hacking knowledge, you know, picking up the top 10 tools on Kali Linux, and I mean, that's good. I mean, it's educational in a way, but it's ephemeral because, you know, if computer security is going to progress, one hopes that those tools won't work next year. Right, of course, that's never the case.
You're listening to The Cyber Show on www.cybershow.uk. In this part, we're covering default permit. I believe that default permit is often born from the infancy of a company in those very early stages of its development, when there may be only one or two devices in the very start of that company. And there may be 15 or so applications on that device, and there may only be two devices. So what, 30 applications, some of which are probably the same application? That seems doable. But once that company grows and it has 50 clients on, that number's growing too. And those jobs become more varied, and those applications will represent those jobs, which are now more varied. And you might not understand those applications and all of those jobs. So now you're just approving things to make your life easier, to make your business easier, to do exactly what you're supposed to do as a business and really reach for that technology and embrace the technology. But at a certain point, that very attitude that helps you embrace and helps you grow as a company becomes a biggest weakness to that company's growth. It becomes a risk that you have by and far outgrown your understanding of your own system, not just as yourself as a company director, but as a business yourself. And your answer often is to outsource the problem to somebody else, or, as he rightly puts, fall for someone's marketing ploy. Taking the opposite approach seems nuts, but it works. It works. And you begin to develop a deeper understanding of your system, its requirements, the roles of your employees, because you're having those meetings, you're having those discussions. And if you can't find the right application that's safe, find a different one or find a different way of working. You're listening to The Cyber Show with me, Helen Pease, Ed Navard and Andy Farnell on www.cybershow.uk. Tune in again next time.